We will be in Psalm 103 in a few moments, but you can go ahead and turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We're also going to look at something that Paul says there. Four aspects of life that you cannot control. As a species, we like to be in control. We like to be the masters of our own destiny. We prefer to determine the outcome of every situation. And when we cannot control every little detail, we tend to worry. Worry leads to frustration. At times, if we allow it to progress far enough, it can even turn into depression. And even begin to battle with our spiritual welfare. Here's the thing. Life is hard enough. Life has enough things that we do need to control and take care of. It's hard enough without trying to control the things that are beyond our control. It's hard enough without adding things to the list that worry us, confuse us, burden us. So the thought for tonight, and I just chose four of them, certainly there are others, is there are certain things that we cannot control. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much effort we put into them, no matter how much money we have, no matter how much education, and so on. So, rather than worrying about them, rather than trying to be consumed by them, there are some things that we're just better off letting ride. Number one is our lifespan. We just sang about the fact that Jesus is coming soon. We looked at some other thoughts in the songs to kind of deal with that same idea. Time passes. You can look at the clock and watch it pass. And we cannot control it. Unless you take the second hand off and then take the minute hand off and then take the hour hand off, you're not going to stop the clock. And even if you make that one quit turning, that one back there is. Time's outside of our control. Matthew 6, verse 26, Jesus says, "Which one of you, by being anxious, by worrying about it, by putting it on the docket for the day, can add a single cubit to your lifespan?" You know, I can sit and worry all day long that time is running out. That I'm closer to 70 now than I am to 20 or whatever. At the end of the day, all I've done is eaten up the time on today's clock and I haven't changed the outcome one bit. I watch basketball. I watch high school basketball. I watch college basketball. I watch professional basketball. Doesn't matter. And yesterday, in the five or six games that I watched during process of the day on my phone or listened to as I was passing by, one of them was being commentated by Dick Vitale. Dick Vitale can absolutely run you up the wall. But if you get past the voice and the excitement, Dick Vitale probably knows more about college basketball than most coaches have ever learned. During one of the games that I was watching yesterday, at one point he kind of shifted gears and he began to talk about the clock ticking in his life. How much longer he was going to be able to do what he was doing, and people talking about how he kept up his vitality and his excitement every day. And his partner interrupted and basically said, "I do not want to hear it. You were being morbid." I love what Dick said. Dick said, "No, I'm just facing reality." He said, "I am 81 years old and I cannot ignore the numbers. Each day is one down. Each second is one down. The clock runs." He's so right. And it's not about being morbid. It's about facing reality. No matter what we do to keep our bodies ticking, our diet, our exercise, our vitamins, at some point it's going to give out. So here's the thought, why worry about it? Why get all tore up about the fact that at some point this life is going to end? We get so caught up in surviving, in staying alive from day to day. Here's the thought, we forget to live. We're so concerned with getting another day out of life or another year that we forget to live in the moment. And that's certainly true coming off of 2020. Worried to death about getting sick, worried to death about this and that, and everything that's going on. It didn't take long to realize that 2020 was leaving us behind, and a lot of people had forgot to live in the days that they had. I'm not saying that we take unnecessary risks. I'm not saying that we put ourselves in danger of shortening our lives by ignorance. But what we have to realize, however, is that our time on earth is temporary, that it is preparation for eternity. And so with that said, I mentioned Philippians chapter 1. I want you to listen to Paul's attitude. Listen as he writes to them about the fact that at some point he was going to cease on this physical earth. For me, he said, I've reached the point in my life that I understand it now. For me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. If I'm to live on in the flesh, that will mean fruitful labor for me. I'm not sure which one to choose. I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. That is much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. I'm convinced of this. I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. He said, I'm going to make it at least to a point where God's going to allow me to come back to you, and I'm going to accomplish a whole lot of things. So what I want you to see there is a twofold mindset in respect to the brevity of life. Number one, Paul said, I'm going to make absolutely certain that I make the most of my time on earth. I'm not going to worry about at what point I'm going to cease to exist in this world. He said, I'm going to make the most of it. For me to live is good for you. Fruitful labor. So I'm going to stay at it. I'm going to keep my hand to the plow. And then the second part of it, he says, while I look forward to my eternal reward. For me to go and be with Christ, he said, that's a whole lot better for me. I cannot add time to my calendar by worrying about it. But if I live life to the fullest, like we talked about this morning, if I get the why and the how, if I get the purpose and how to fulfill that purpose, and I take every day that God gives me, and I fill it to the absolute max, I do not have to worry about when the clock runs out. Because when it runs out, I'm going to have used up my time to the best of my ability. I'm going to have done what God had called me to do. And I'm going to stand before Him and please Him based on what we looked at this morning. Number two, I want you to understand tonight that you cannot control the actions of other people. Our lives are impacted on a daily basis by the choices of those all around us. I'm going to give you both the negative side of that very quickly, and I'm going to give you the positive side of that. We're going to start with the negative. Naboth lost his life. He dies not because of anything that he had done. It was wrong. He dies because of the actions of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab wants what belongs to Naboth. Naboth says, no. That's family ties here. I'm staying where I am. And Ahab, doing what he does on a regular basis, goes home and pouts until Jezebel sees him. What's wrong with you? Well, I want that vineyard over there, but Naboth won't give it to me. Jezebel says, fine, I'll do what I always do. I'll take care of you. Quit pouting. I'll get it for you. And a man loses his life because of somebody else's actions. Positive side of it, the lame man in Mark 2 has the four friends that gather around his pallet and carry him to the house where Jesus is, and they can't find a way in the door, so they go up on the roof, tear a hole in the roof and lower him down, where he gets both his sins forgiven and his physical strength. He had his life changed for the better by the action of his friends. Good or bad? What I want you to know tonight, though, is most of the time, the actions of other people are outside of our control. We cannot let their actions determine the outcomes of our lives. We cannot let their bad choices ruin us. They can, in possibility, like Naboth, even cost us our lives. But they don't have to determine who I am. And I don't have to get all tore up worrying about what they're going to do. The most we can do, and understand it's a lot, but the most we can do is teach them right and wrong and hope they make the right choices. We can pray for them and we can control our reactions to them. But we cannot control them. So don't add that to the list of your worries. Number three, this is where we're going to go back to Psalm 103. You cannot control your past. You cannot control your yesterdays. Listen to me. We are all going to drop the ball. We are all going to mess up. We are all going to sin. Sometimes they're really big things. Sometimes they're small things. But regardless, we make decisions that end up haunting our timeline. All of us have those things in the past that run along our timeline that we remember, that stand out to us as the mistakes of life. And understand, they help us be who we are today. And would certainly like to undo some of them. But we cannot. We cannot go back and undo what we did even as recent as 5 minutes ago. If you chose to zone out under point number two and you have no idea that I said we cannot control the actions of other people, you're not going to get that back. You can go back and re-listen to it, but you can't fix that 5 minutes. Therefore, I want you to hear me. We cannot let our past weigh us down and debilitate our today. Now then, there are going to be times that those skeletons crawl out of the closet. Things that remind us, things that other people say, maybe even consequences that show up years later. And we may have to deal with those repercussions. But I want you to listen to David. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. If you've ever heard me reference this passage, you know what I'm about to say, but for those who have not, I'll say it again. David chooses by inspiration east and west because those two never meet. If you go north far enough, you reach the North Pole and you begin coming back to the south. But you take off heading east and you keep going east, you'll never start going west. David said, our sins are so far away from us that are in our past that God has forgiven that they cannot touch us. again. So what do? We control our present faithfulness. And we let Him control our blamelessness. We let Him deal with the forgiveness. And we learn to forgive ourselves. And that's really hard sometimes. I want to show you something really cool that I just thought about this week, connected to this. I can control my future past. Do you get that? It's actually a mouthful a little bit. Since I control my actions today, and tomorrow I'm going to have a chance to control my future actions, I can actually control what is going to become my past from this moment on. And so I can eliminate some of those things that might haunt me by making the right decisions now. That's super cool to me. And the thought is, rather than being dominated by your past, how about we dominate our future past? Go ahead and take care of it today. Last one, you cannot control change. We'd love to sometimes. But no matter how hard we try to hold on to life as usual, change happens. It happens in relationships. It happens in our individual bodies. It happens in the culture around us. It's inevitable. The disciples did not want Jesus to leave. Peter wanted Him to stay so badly that he argued with Him. You don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. I'm not going to let you die. But He did. The elders from Ephesus, flip back, or flip forward this time to Acts chapter 20, very end of the chapter. Remember what happens? Paul calls the elders from Ephesus to him. They're at Miletus. And he says, hey, let's have a talk. I'm about to leave. And I want you to remember everything that I did while I was here. I want you to remember that I'm going to commend you to God and I'm going to keep you in my prayers. But he gets down to the end. It says, when he said these things, he knelt down and he prayed with them all. And they began to weep aloud. It was breaking them up. And they embraced him and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the... They didn't want him to go. They didn't like the idea, after all that he had done for them in Ephesus, that he was not coming back, that they were not going to get to see him anymore. But they couldn't control it. Change can be hard. Sometimes it's for the good. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes the change can be both for good and bad, depending on which side of it you're standing on, who you are in the relationship. Regardless, we cannot control much of it. It's just a natural process in life. Sometimes it's the choices of others. Sometimes it's just cultural shifts that are outside our control. So again, don't add it to the list of worries. We control how we react. We control who we are. We control where we're going. We do the best we can to teach those around us, help them control those aspects of life that they can control. Sometimes we just got to let the rest ride. So here's the point tonight as we close. Some things are just beyond our control. You can add other things to the list that you may have already thought of tonight. So one of the keys, determine what you can control and what you cannot. Learn the difference. Work on the things that God has put within your measure of control. However much control God has given you over it, control it. Deal with it. Work with it. Fix it. Whatever. Just let the rest slide. Don't get tore up about it. Life's too short to spend it worrying about things that we cannot fix. When we learn the difference between the two, and we concentrate our effort on the things that we can control and not the things that we cannot control, it will lead to a life where we can learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And it will lead to a life of less worry and more joy. In that reading in Psalm 103, I did not reference it when I was talking about time, but David touched on it there too. He said, you're just a grass, you're just flower. He said, the wind's going to blow, you're going to dry up, and this life's going to cease to exist. You can't control that. But you can control how you stand before God at that moment. You're in control of your destiny, of your eternity. It is up to you whether you go to heaven or hell. It is up to you whether you hear well done or you hear cast him out. If you're not a child of God tonight, I'm going to beg you at this moment. Because life is so short, because we cannot control so many things, take control of your eternal destiny by the grace of God that he gives you at the cross. Obey the gospel. Walk in the path of light. And leave the rest of it up to God. So if you're not a child of God tonight, please, I'm going to ask that you respond to the invitation. Make your statement of faith that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Choose to leave your sins in the past and let him forgive them, and you repent of them. And be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins as we stand and sing.